Testing. Testing.
Okay, welcome back to this session. So, first we recite the Heart Sutra, and then we will do the mandala after that. Okay, so are you ready with the Heart Sutra? Okay, here we go. I prostrate to the Arya Triple Gem. Thus did I hear at the time the Bhagwan was dwelling on mass of vultures mountain in Rajagriha, together with a great community of monks and great community of bodhisattvas. At that time, the Bhagwan was absorbed in the concentration on the categories of phenomena called profound perception. Also at that time, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara looked upon the very practice of the profound perfection of wisdom and beheld those five aggregates also as empty of inherent nature. Then, through the power of Buddha, the Venerable Shariputra said this to the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara: how should any son of the lineage train who wishes to practice the activity of the profound perfection of wisdom? He said that, and the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara said this to the Venerable Shariputra: Shariputra, any son of the lineage or daughter of the lineage who wishes to practice the activity of the profound perfection of wisdom should look upon this like this, correctly and repeatedly beholding those five aggregates also as empty of inherent nature. Form is empty, emptiness is form, emptiness is not other than form, form is also not other than emptiness. In the same way, feeling, discrimination, compositional factors, and consciousness are empty. Shariputra, likewise, all phenomena are emptiness, without characteristic, unproduced, unceased, stainless, not without stain, not deficient, nor fulfilled. Shariputra, therefore, in emptiness there is no form, no feeling, no discrimination, no compositional factors, no consciousness. No eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no visual form, no sound, no odor, no taste, no object of touch, and no phenomena. There is no eye element and so on up to and including no mind element and no mental consciousness element. There is no ignorance, no extinction of ignorance and so on up to and including no aging and death and no extinction of aging and death. Similarly, there is no suffering, origination, cessation and path. There is no exalted wisdom, no attainment and also no non-attainment. Shariputra, therefore, because there is no attainment, bodhisattvas rely on and dwell in the perfection of wisdom, the mind without obscuration and fear, without fear. Having completely passed beyond error, they reach the end of nirvana. All the Buddhas who dwell in the three times also manifestly, completely, perfect, complete enlightenment in the brilliance of the perfection of wisdom. Therefore, the mantra of the perfection of wisdom, the mantra of great knowledge, the unsurpassed mantra, the mantra equal to the unequal, the mantra that thoroughly pacifies all suffering, should be known as truth, since it is upon the mantra of the perfection of wisdom is declared. Teya tha om gate gate para gate para sangate bodhi soha. Shariputra, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva should train in the profound perfection of wisdom like that. Then the Bhagwan rose from the concentration and commended the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara, saying, well said, son of the lineage. It is like that, it is like that. One should practice the profound perfection of wisdom just as you have indicated. The Tathagatas rejoice. The Bhagwan, having thus spoken, the Venerable Shariputra, the Bodhisattva, Mahasattva, Arya, Avalokiteshvara, those around in their entirety, along with the word of gods, women, asuras, gandharvas, were overjoyed and highly praised that spoke by the Bhagwan. Kala jebe no jo tamba ning uje dudu ngave dupa pola maye esum khandu thola cha tse lo aga samarada shatrasa.
Listen to the discourse with the proper motivation, cultivate it deeply in yourself according to the instructions that we find in the teachings of the lineage masters. We explained yesterday, I explained the portion of the practice of refuge, which also includes, which makes up the part of the kind of preliminaries or maybe the preparatory steps before we engage into the actual practice of the Guru Yoga. Now, after that, then as soon as we rang it, sir, we were mangbor, pembat se mebe, kyang de rang it so, rang it sir so, thorma, chang meba si chebe, ma ilu tan, thei tin chamba the tin so be longun do tan ne, ma dinum dala the sun ki tin chewa imbala, korwe dunge, thala mu mebe. Parzam member narve nega dinda shin shindu ningreje ta tenam ki dungye sewa dan dewa nrubi kurbu dhala pab myo kyang tenam kyo be nyudu khaya mebe kyo ku se yun ten kundi ngi sangye ki kopang shik topna rangwe ne pangto thamje tharchimbe dewa lana meba nyeba dan simjin nam kyang dun nubar dugbe chini kyang sangye ki kopang nyurwa nyubar thobar chao nyambe lo shu chapo kye ne is. Okay, then after having the practice of refuge done, then we move forward with the cultivation of cultivation of the bodhicitta. And to do that, the text explains, since this is a commentary, it explains. After that, contemplate that all the sentient beings have served oneself as one's mother for a lot of previous lifetimes, and the services and the help and the support the sentient beings have provided oneself or us is infinite, and in various occasions these sentient beings may probably have sacrificed their own life in order to serve us, in order to protect us and support us. So with such a contemplation, try to establish the sentient beings being one's own mother in innumerable previous lifetimes, and with establishing that, try to recall the great kindness of all the sentient beings, and once after getting managed to establish the great kindness of sentient beings towards oneself, then try to establish a great sense of willingness to pay back those great kindness of all the sentient beings. So these contemplation are really important in order to cultivate the bodhicitta. After having these contemplation done, then do a further contemplation that since all the mother sentient beings has been such greatly kind to us and helpful to us, now at presently all the sentient beings are in a very pitiful state. They are suffering the samsaric existence, the conditioned existence, which comes up with the infinite pain and suffering and discomfort, a continuous pain and suffering and discomforts. So with contemplating that way, try to cultivate a deep sense of compassion. The compassion, according to the Buddhist teachings, Mahayana teachings, is a deep sense of willingness to liberate the others from the state of unhappiness and suffering and pain that the others are going through. So that kind of mentality. Then after that, now it is the time that I must do something to eradicate
the sufferings and the pain of all these sentient beings and put them into a state of happiness, because they have been so kind to me for all those previous lifetimes. So I must do something. This is my responsibility. Try to cultivate that kind of sense of responsibility towards oneself, in oneself, towards the other sentient beings. And once having that sense of responsibility cultivated, and further contemplate that, of course, this is my responsibility to do it, but at presently, what is my situation? Am I able to do that or not? Do a further contemplation and calculation. When we do that, then what we will definitely come to find that though we have this great responsibility, but we are not capable to do that, capable to deliver all the sentient beings from the suffering and provide the complete happiness to them, because our capability is very limited, our strength and power is very limited. So we need to search for how could it be possible to be able to liberate and deliver all the sentient beings from the suffering and pain? How could it be possible to provide great happiness to them? When we contemplate in that direction, then we will come to establish that only if we achieve the Buddhahood, then we could be able to provide complete happiness to them, and we could be able to provide, we could be able to liberate them from all the sufferings and pains. Because when we achieve the Buddhahood, we will be completely free from all kinds of faults, all kinds of negative and harmful qualities, and we will enjoy complete good qualities and necessary capabilities. So for that, skills and everything, so it's very important that I must achieve this that state of Buddhahood, the complete state of Buddhahood, free from all defilements and endowed with all the great and positive qualities. If I manage to get to that state, then from my own side, I could be able to be free from all the sufferings and achieve the great abandonment, where all the unnecessary and unwanted and a kind of disturbing factors will be completely abandoned, and I will enjoy the great wisdom, where my wisdom will be complete and perfect, so that definitely enjoy the supreme happiness. And when I achieve that Buddhahood, from the side of benefiting others, I could be able to liberate all the living beings, all the sentient beings, through the power of compassion and the infinite wisdom and power and strength. So it is very important that I must achieve the Buddhahood, and must achieve the Buddhahood as soon as possible. So it is very important to cultivate a deep and serious sense of willingness to achieve the Buddhahood as soon as possible from the depth of one's heart. A strong and serious sense of such resolve within oneself. With such an understanding, then should chant the verse of cultivating or generating the bodhicitta. Sangye chuzo matabu chanju sinsum ge chik lensum je tene simje nam deve phungluk dang dongye ge narsu samne dinam dewa dan deve gyudan gyu thamje dan dena chimaru dembar gyurji dembar da ki chao nyabaso gi gone simje thamje dewa da deve gyudan dembar gyurji dongye da dongye gi gyuda thewar gyurji dongye mebe dewa da midewar gyurji nyerin chadan ni da thewe tangnyum la nebar gyurji che lensum ki seme shi gomu. So though this text that we have we are provided here doesn't include this portion of the recitation, which is explained here in the commentary. According to this commentary, we should insert here the very common verse of refuge and bodhicitta. The verse of bodhicitta with the four lines that we recited at the beginning of this session of the teaching. Sangye chuda thok chanam la sanjibho dhanikyus dhag jisuk yusun dola fenje sangye dhubar shos. That one. There is an English version of a translation, maybe various version of English translation is available there. So we need to insert that and we need to recite that three times. While we do that, we need to try to cultivate the bodhicitta and or in sense, in certain sense, while reciting that and while chanting that, we can also visualize taking the bodhisattva vows from in front of the assembly of the enlightened beings, in front of oneself. So it can be done in either ways. After taking the bodhisattva vows, or after having the bodhicitta cultivated through the recitation of these verses three times, then it goes on like this. Once again, need to contemplate that how all the sentient beings are deprived of the happiness and how all the sentient beings suffer the pain and discomfort and unhappiness, and with such an intensive contemplation we need to cultivate a deep sense of wish to how wonderful it could be if all the sentient beings be free from the unhappiness and the suffering. How wonderful it could be if all the sentient beings enjoy great happiness and have all the causes and conditions which provides that which result into happiness and comfortability. So these things, and then how wonderful it could be if all the sentient beings be never departed or never get separated from all the happiness. How wonderful it could be if all the sentient beings be free from discrimination and attachment and enmity, the sense of anger and hatred, and remain in great equanimity. So here, with such a thought or spirit cultivated deep in one, deeply in oneself, we need to recite the verses of four immeasurables. That also is missing from this text, so it can be kind of added up. So these are the preparatory rites or preparatory steps before we actually engage into the actual text, the practice of the actual text of the Guru Yoga practice of Lama Tsongkhapa, the Garden Hagia. So up to this point, we have explained, I have explained the preparatory steps to carry on the actual practice. And now we are entering into the second portion of the text, the commentary, the actual the explanation of the actual practice itself. But the actual practice itself is further divided into three portions. And the first portion of it is the invocation or inviting of the merit field or field of merit. And the second portion is, after inviting, after having the field of merit invited, then how to accumulate the collections, or in the other words, the merit and the wisdom. Then the third portion is supplication and receiving of attainments. So these are the three portions. Now, the first portion is like this. Yerin chadan yin da trebe tang nyum la nebar gyur ji. Cheba len sum gi tseme shi gomu. Nipa ngu shi la so gi shing chen den batang. Tela so sa batang. So atam ni ngudu shuwa sum le. Tang bo ni rerab ge ten do sun ju ta sum tang. Te yi tengi namkar tab de. Te yi tengi namkar gandengi la ne yu jing. Gandengi la chingi ne ne. Tong le gomba tar pakwe. Char. Jizun chamguyun ki potan gyanzen thambutang. Te yi dundu jizun gi chue sungbe kungarawa yiga chunzi shechawa yobar sungbe. Okay. Now we need to visualize. With the recitation of the first verse of the text of Garden Hagia, we need to visualize these things. Visualize that there is a Mount Meru, and on top of the Mount Meru there is a land of the heavenly beings named 33 land named 33, and on top of that, in the space on above that, the land named 33 is just on the top of the Mount Meru, founded on the base. The base foundation of this land is the Mount Meru. But the second level higher than that is named, in Tibetan we say Thapte, and that is a land free from the struggle. So that is just hanging on the space above the Mount Meru. And above that, there is another land of heavenly beings named Garden. That is the abode of joy in English. And that is also hanging in the open space. So in this land of in the garden, from the main cities, in a quite far away distance, there is a land named, a place named the kingdom or the palace of the great Maitreya, Venerable Maitreya. And the name of the palace of the Venerable Maitreya is Elevated Victory, Victorious Banner, or the Elevated Banner of Victory. And in front of that palace of the Maitreya Buddha is the courtyard of the courtyard of the Maitreya Buddha, where he does the Dhamma discourses, which is named Yiga Chunzi. That means a place joyful to the heart and holds the Dhamma, that kind of thing. And now it says that it is explained like that in the text. Now here it's very important to understand that the ancient text explains existence of Mount Meru and all these realms of the heavenly beings and all these levels of the heavenly realm. But it's not provable through the modern scientific gadget and through the modern scientific technology. But it's, at the same time, it is not also not kind of it also cannot be kind of denied, because it is not provable through the modern scientific technology and modern scientific method. Because science itself, in fact, in reality, doesn't have any philosophy. It is just based on the discovery. Whatever one is going to find tomorrow, there is nothing it is unknown. So it's like that. So the philosophy may say something based on the reasoning, something based on the logics, which itself have its own way of proving the things, but which may not be proved through the scientific methods, where science is mostly based on seeing something and touching something and those things. But there are a lot of things out there which cannot be seen, which cannot be touched. So it is highly possible that those are out of the comprehension of the science, as long as science is just limited up to the explanation of like physical things, and those grossly, very very gross and coarse type of physical things. Even in the theoretical science and the theoretical presentation of scientific studies, they do have a lot of optional things put forward. In many ways, in many times, they also come up with a certain ideas, like different existence of different dimensions. One dimension, two dimension, three dimension, it goes probably up to 12, 13 dimensions. If things exist in different dimensions, it is impossible to deny it or prove it through things that just can comprehend up to just limited dimensions. And they do also have some other theoretical explanations, like simultaneous parallel universe or something like that. which also gives a chance, which also opens the door to existence of various things that is out of the comprehension of common human being and common human senses. So sometimes science also is not very kind of sure about certain many things. It may contradicting from one kind of the kind of outcome of the result, outcome of the research may contradicting from one group of the scientists to the another one. So there could be a kind of a huge disagreements within the groups of the scientists. So we have to understand many things from various perspectives and try to look at the things from a wider liberal approach rather than being very narrow-minded. In certain occasions, people try to deny the existence of the Mount Meru just because of the scientific proving of the Earth being kind of round and circular. So the no existence of Mount Meru because of like that. Then if we do like that, there are a lot of kind of minor things that we need to think carefully about. Like if the Mount Meru doesn't exist, then probably there will be no possibility for the existence of the heavenly realm or the heavenly land of the 33. If it doesn't exist, then probably where is all those levels? There won't be any possibility of existence of those things. Then if those things doesn't exist, then we need to there will be a lot of questions arising, and we need to address all those questions. One possible question is, in the text, it's very clearly said, Buddha lived in the realm of 33, the heavenly realm of the heavenly beings of desire realm. Buddha lived there for whole one kind of summer retreat period. So where did Buddha go? If Mount Meru doesn't exist, where did Buddha go for all these 3 months' time? This is a huge question that we need to address if that doesn't exist. And then there are a whole lot of teachings that Buddha have done in that place to the the devotees from the heavenly realm. And there are sutras. We still recite those sutras. If Buddha never had been there, then where did these sutras came from? Like, for an example, the white umbrella Dharani is one of that famous Dharani that Buddha taught in the realm of heavenly beings. So if Buddha never had been up there in that heavenly realm of heavenly beings, then where did the white umbrella Dharani came out? Is it a fake sutra? Is it a kind of creation of someone else? So where did Buddha go for 3 months? So there is a whole lot of questions that we need to address. So it's very important to look into this matter very clearly and try to come to decisive thing rather than just keep jumping from here to there without thinking about all those outcomings. So it's very important to understand this thing in this context. So it's I believe Mount Meru may exist, but maybe it is not visible for the human being at this point. It's like that. So, anyhow, in the Tushita, where the Buddha Maitreya lives, we need to visualize that land, land perfect and beautiful and kind of complete in its beauty and all the arrangement and everything. Now here we need to visualize the palace of the Buddha Maitreya and then the courtyard of the Buddha Maitreya. And then now probably we need to visualize all these things at one's front side, not at the side and then back and then something like that. So it text says that if you are sitting facing the Mount Meru while you are doing this meditation is good. But in general, if we try to find out the direction of the Mount Meru is always in the north, always in the north of the wherever human beings dwell. So it appears like if it exists in a kind of the dimension that we can be able to see by our bare eyes, it should be existing somewhere at the point of the North Pole or something like that. So Mount Meru is at the north. So if possible, the practitioner should try to face the north. If not, then it doesn't matter. Practitioner may visualize, or they may take it that they are facing that direction. Okay, like that. Sungbe ka rang ka rero la chobor mebe tengi namkar jivyung gi singum sachi rimbu chin na thole duba ne na nem da teng na parche be nyem balas so dan zingbu da pabchu da samba tam gi gode tamje rang dyundu jungi pasam gi singda shenya singda medo ge chela soba yila temba tam gi kya gawa ke nibe uso kangsan gyanzen thambe kyanzen gyanzen thambu rimbuche naso le trivji nyinda silgi nyonu ba tabi wesep soba rimbuche yi chawada chache na tibu da ngayo lo sobe gyan tuma chanchu du yoba teyi dundu yiga chunzingi kungarwa silgi sashi le bendru yayi mingmang risu tiba tishim rongar ki debu da dembe shingdang kado kebar pakbe medo la soba tawe mingombe uiso sengi gege tegwe rimbuchi ti yangshin gyachebe tingdu jizun chamba gumbu kundo serto matabu. Okay, then in front of the oneself on top of the Mount Meru the land of joyous abode or the Tushita, we need to visualize that Tushita is a perfect land and complete land with all the beauty and the perfection, and the land itself, the earth of that land is made up of various types of precious stones, and the earth is kind of spongy. If you can step on it, it will kind of move down, and then if you take up your feet out of that, it will return back like a sponge, you know, in a spongy type, and then very flexible and very soft and smooth. And there are plenty of lakes and plenty of ponds spread all over, and there are plenty of rivers and creeks spread all over, and there are the wish-fulfilling tree which may produce all the needs as soon as someone wishes to have it. So that kind of trees are filling up whole land. And there are various types of beautiful trees and flowers and gardens. And then in the center of all those things, there is the palace of the Buddha Maitreya, the elevated banner of victory, which is the name of the palace. And this palace is also made up of various precious stones, like diamonds and rubies and various corals and all those things. And then this palace has a great brightness sparkling out of it, like the brightness of sun and moon. And it is decorated with various decorative ornaments, also made up of very precious stones. And it is decorated in decorated with those those strings, the strings which is beaded up with various precious stones, and also this kind of the bells are hanging on those strings. So those kinds of various decorative things are hanging in different parts of that building, that palace of the Buddha Maitreya. And in front of that great, wonderful and amazing palace of the Buddha Maitreya, there is the Dhamma courtyard of the Buddha Maitreya, named which makes the heart happy and holds the Dhamma. And this Dhamma courtyard is completely covered with the floor made of golden gold, and which is decorated with various precious stones in various decorative designs on the floors. And in various parts of this Dhamma courtyard, there are various extremely fragrant trees, and there are a lot of flowers in different directions and different parts of this courtyard of Dharma courtyard of the Buddha Maitreya. And all these makes it so beautiful, so attractive, that you cannot resist. One cannot resist to be attracted by these things if they happen to see it. And in front of, in the center of this Dharma courtyard, there is a huge throne supported by eight lions. Now, in lions, this is a very common expression. Normally, the Tibetan visualization includes like an animal with a white fur and some kind of bluish green manes. But that kind of a lion doesn't exist in present world, you know. Maybe it may have existed sometime in past. Maybe people may claim that it's a mythology. But there are people who claim that they have seen that kind of lion, you know, that kind of lion. So it may depend on. But the Tibetans visualize that kind of lion, not the normal lion that we can see in the zoo or maybe in the
kind of discovery channel in the African Sahara desert, you know, those things. So it's a kind of I can say the selective thing, but it is good to do it in a Tibetan way if it may look like better, you know, more attractive. The Saharan lions are not kind of any attractive. So it's like that. And upon that, the eight lions supporting a huge base of the throne of the Buddha Maitreya. And this is a huge throne, and on the top of that throne is the Buddha Maitreya sitting, and the Buddha Maitreya's Buddha body is kind of yellowish, golden color, and sparkling in brightness, and sparkling in brightness, and his rays of brightness are so kind of bright and sparkling that it appears like it is comparable to if we put the thousand sun together, like that kind of a thing. And Buddha Maitreya is adorned or wearing all the great the ornaments made up of the great substances of the heavenly beings, means various precious stones and precious metals and so on. And he's wearing the clothings made up of precious kind of textile, extremely pricey and extremely precious. And he's sitting in a Western sitting posture, on a, like when you sit on a kind of a chair, you know, not the Tibetan sitting posture. So you have to visualize like that. And he's facing directly at you. You are facing directly at him. So that kind of thing. Pendruye mingmang ris triba. Tishim rongar ge debu da dembe shingdang. Kado kebar pa me medo lo soba. Tawe mingmo be usu singi gegi te birimbo chi ti. Yang shing gya che betin do jizun chamba. Gombo, kundo, serto matabu. Nimam bunda dawe yosarji. Rimbo chi gendal hadze ge thargi. Nasa sewa shabni sambu dudangi shi rang la chokbar. Shubwe thakurdu. Cho adi shadan. Je yase la soba cho chunin dube. Thakbe korto changme be korwa. Se tamne. Ranya neter lemne. Shingi yunde. Tamje migi thongwa nyam chebatang. Jizungi sungchuyegi dannawe hanghang warathebe. Meba shuk chapu. Yun mitung sam chade. Thakbe shingchongdu jobatang. Shimar kene terkebe. Bhajan jobasogi. Goba shindu ches. So, now Buddha Maitreya is sitting up there on the kind of beautiful and precious throne. Precious throne. Now, surrounding the Buddha Maitreya, there is the Atisha and the Buddha, Lama Tsongkhapa, and his disciples all surrounding him. Led by these great masters, there are a whole kind of assembly of the Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, and the retinues that is surrounding him. And now, having it visualized clearly, now imagine that you yourself or oneself also get in the presence of this assembly of the enlightened beings led by the Buddha Maitreya, and you yourself or one, the meditator or the practitioner have a kind of a direct perceiving of all these great and wonderful
an amazing kind of landscape and beauty of this land and the palace and the courtyard of the Buddha Maitreya. And at the same time, you can also imagine that you're hearing the sound or the voice of Buddha Maitreya doing the teachings in that land or in that courtyard, and try to maintain a deep sense of devotion and trust in the Buddha Maitreya, and in that as long as possible. So if it is done in that way, that could be very helpful to purify the land, purify the land, in order to, when we achieve the Buddhahood, we can have our own pure land manifested. So that could be one powerful cause or condition to achieve that. And beside that, by doing this kind of practice, we can cultivate, or we can accumulate certain specific type of good causes and conditions to be born into that land of the Buddha Maitreya in future. So from that point of view, it's important to visualize as clear as possible and have a deep sense of devotion and trust that I'm kind of transferred to that land, and I'm living in that land in the presence of the Buddha Maitreya, so on. Tene jivyung ki thuga sir ki temba chi batabu la pe phewu thami thasing we wis ting karbo dingwe tingna jela ma kundo karla marwe dang cha ba chani thugar chugur ki chage zebale yeyu du kebe ubale indama nying ki thesor nebe ye ding sherab ki reji dang yuen ding sherjing ki lekbam namba ula sendok ki pensha dang kula chugun nongsum solwa shebdo jiki dungi shubwe ye Yecho, Gesa Tamji Kimba, Uchung say Dube Namata, Yuncho, Kiru Tamji Kimba, Kuching say Gingwatabu, Nigan, Kundo, Tang Nasaso, Todan Dawala, Chaya Chuja, Yuman Yamsha Gitina, Legon Namba, Shabduji Kitung with Sugar, Sum Sell Lepertabjin. Then, after that, at the heart of the Buddha Maitreya, when we say heart, it is not really reference to the left portion of the body and of the Buddha Maitreya. It refers to the central portion of the chest of the Buddha Maitreya. So we need to visualize at the central portion of the Buddha Maitreya's chest, just at the point of where the kind of at the center of these one's own chest, or maybe the chest of the Buddha Maitreya, visualize Buddha Maitreya. So we need to visualize like a mirror, or maybe like a plate of gold plate or golden plate, and this golden plate is decorated with kind of endless knot, which stands for the heart or the spirit of the Buddha Maitreya, and in the center of these endless knot, visualize a mass of clouds, a white cloud, and on top of that mass of the white cloud, there is the great master Tsongkhapa and his two disciples. Now, in the top of the mass of this cloud, white cloud, visualize three mattress, and on the central mattress, or maybe three thrones, on the central throne, there is the great Master Tsongkhapa, with a very kind of attractive physical complexion and with his two hands held in the posture of turning the wheel of the Dharma and holding the stamen of two blue lilies, and these stamens all the way go up to his right and left direction, and on the top of the blooming lilies there are at the right there is a sword which represents the wisdom, and at the left there is a scripture which is the scripture of the perfection of wisdom, and he's very he's in a kind of appearance of a ordained Buddhist monk with wearing three monastic robes, and on head is wearing a hat of the Pandita, that is a yellow hat with a very kind of pointing tip of it, very sharp pointing tip of it, and sitting in a vajra or cross leg posture, and he's at his right side there is the Gyaltsabje with the having his head a little bit bowed towards the main figure, the Lama Tsongkhapa, and at the left side of him there is the Kedubje, the two eminent and main disciples of him. The Kedubje is in a little kind of proud posture and physical posture, in slightly proud physical posture, unlike the Gyaltsabje, which is a very respectful posture. And both of these two masters are also kind of in a form of ordained Buddhist monk, wearing three monastic robes. And both of these masters, both of their right hand, they are kind of in the posture of teaching the Dharma, and the left hand in the posture of sitting in meditation, and holding the scriptures on the top of the hand in the meditative posture, and sitting in upright vajra posture, cross leg. So we have to we should visualize a complete set of the Buddha, the great Lama Tsongkhapa, and his two disciples, or great Jerimbuche, or his two, and his two disciples. And we should also visualize from the heart, from the central point of the body of the Buddha Maitreya, is coming out kind of infinite rays of light, and at the tip of each rays of light there are kind of emanations of the great Lama Tsongkhapa and Buddha Maitreya spreading in all the direction, and some of them after having the actions done coming back and dissolving back into the or withdrawing back into that same point. So this is the visualization that we should do, and it is always good to have the clearer visualization done. If you cannot maintain the clear visualization, then at least it is very important that one should have a deep sense of devotion that such thing is existing there, and deep sense of feeling that such thing is existing in the front of oneself, and oneself, the practitioner, is kind of paying respect to them and all those things. The presence, to feel the presence, is very important, much more important than anything else. If someone managed to have the visualization very clear, but they don't feel the presence and the deep sense of devotion arising in oneself, then that doesn't work that much. So it's very important to have the devotion. So then, yuncho kheru thamje kimba kuchung se gyungwa tabu nigaan kundo da nasar so so dan dawa la cha ye chuje da yun nyamsha ki tingna lekbum namba shabdo ji kirungi chuba sum se lekbar tabji xinyan chamgoyin ki tuka ni wesir ki nala kandu ki tuba mume tu chowa da dubar zebar sum tenne je lama la kusum tuki yundin chenbe tegu chenbe goni daaki gongyab da pungyin ki ledo dirishik na chimarung nyambe. So then after that, the practitioner or one should try to recall or remember the great physical and vocal and then the spiritual or the mental qualities of the great master Tsongkhapa from the depth of one's heart. One should have a deep sense of devotion and respect and him and both also the both of the disciples. And from the depth of one's heart, one should have this kind of a feeling that how wonderful it could be if the great master Lama Tsongkhapa and two disciples, if they descend down to this place and driven by that kind of thinking, one should respect from the depth of one's heart or supplicate one's heart for their presence and for them to descend down to one's own place. So that kind of supplication is very important. With such an understanding, so should read this first paragraph of this Gandhanbhagya, which goes like, from the heart of the Lord of the Gandhan Devas emerges a brilliant white cloud like a great mass of fresh yogurt. Atop sits Tsongkhapa, all-knowing king of Dharma. We request your coming to this place along with your great disciples. So one should recite this first paragraph with those visualizations and that kind of deep sense of kind of request and supplication coming down, coming out from one's heart. Kadien lhagye gwenye tuga nera kwa shosar pungde chunzizir chwe gigye ku kunjien lo sancha seda cheba nedir shes ku su she chen changbe chan gwenye tuga nera tingkarbo tingkarbo dharkar kyangba dardawe nera jeya se sum shuba rangi dunte yergi chenbe thakurdu lama yidam sangye changsem pao khandro chugyun summe so thamjye gi korwa thongso tabuwa yana jeya se sumbo kyamni kundu gu dangyindu mwebe kyan chote Shima kundu nurbu lukso. So, after reciting this verse of inviting the field of merit, one should visualize from the heart of the Buddha Maitreya, where the great Master Tsongkhapa and his disciples are sitting on top of this mass of cloud. The mass of cloud extended down and came in front of oneself. And now it is not just the... there are two different ways of visualizing here. In an elaborate manner, one can visualize that when they came down and descend down in front of oneself, that suddenly the field of merit became complete by having all the other lineage lamas and tutelary deities and Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and Pratyek Buddhas and Shravaks and Viras, Dakas and Dakinis and protectors all surrounding them, making it a complete assembly of enlightened being. That is an elaborate way of visualizing the merit field. Now for someone or for some person, if it is not feasible and it is difficult to do it in that way, then they can do the visualization in a very brief manner, where they can just visualize these three figures, the great master Tsongkhapa and his two disciples, descended down in front of oneself, and the very figure, the great master Tsongkhapa and two disciples, is kind of inseparable from all the enlightened beings. These three figures in appearance is the three Lama Tsongkhapa and his two disciples, but in reality, in its nature, it encompasses all the whole kind of assembly of the enlightened beings. All the lineage masters, the tutelary deities, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, Pratyek Buddhas and Shravakas, Viras and Dakinis and protectors and so on. So there's two different ways of visualization can be done. The later one, the brief one, is understood or is known as visualization in the form of a jewel which encompasses everything. So this is that kind of visualization. And now, let's teach it. Tenya sangda legi durjir, idam le, shamba ni la labdu yu xie lung ten batar, je tong kabar, labdu sembe se, trubjian rinpoche, je yu uting du chamba, kubung yebar jamyang, yuambar hamu yangje ma, shubar sivadang, je kudung du pebar, nyekab, gombo chamba, jengi yu serve lung ten chungwa so, je lama chamba da ngoji gimbatang, tamewe ngor kuzi te yi jima, ganden du gese jambe nyingbo shebar, tungwe lung ten shi, tuba shik shingdir, chamgun, Kisegi tuwa shubwe, sui tenpa zola gongne, diri jizungi tuwa ni jen tenpa zeba yin shi sungu sa. It is heard that the great master Sangda Legi Dorje is the name of a master which is one of the teacher of the great master Tsongkhapa, and also this teacher also have received some teachings from great master Tsongkhapa. So when these two great masters met each other and they took teachings from each other, there were wonderful things that happened, and it is explained here. It says that when this Sangda Legi Dorje, the Tibetan Buddhist master, a famous master, was looking forward to learn certain specific text Then he was given a revelation by the tutelary deities to him, and the revelation was, you should listen the text of Labdhu, that is the Shiksha Samuchya. It's a Indian kind of treatise or Indian Buddhist literature, which was later Tibetan, translated into Tibetan language, written by great master Shantideva. And the revelation was, you should listen this text, Shiksha Samuchya, from the Maitreya himself. And so, as the revelation he happened to receive the teachings on the Shiksha Samuchya from great master Lama Tsongkhapa, and while he took the teachings on Shiksha Samuchya from great master Tsongkhapa, he had a very amazing vision. That is, in front of him, the great master Tsongkhapa was having a Buddha Maitreya in top of his head, and on top of his right shoulder there was a Manjushri, and upon the left shoulder he had seen the goddess Saraswati. So that means the Buddha Maitreya, the great master Tsongkhapa in nature was not other than the Buddha Maitreya himself. And another time, when before he met the great master Tsongkhapa, when the great master Tsongkhapa happened to be getting nearer and nearer to his place, he has other revelation from his tutelary deity, which told him, which said that the Buddha Maitreya is coming, Buddha Maitreya is coming. So all these revelations are very clear that the Buddha Maitreya and the great master Tsongkhapa was in nature not separate, was same. Upon that, even to the common appearance of the human beings, after passing away from this life, the final life, the Master Tsongkhapa, after passing away from this world, he is known to have taken a birth in the Tushita and becoming the main disciple of Buddha Maitreya. So, from these narrations and from these historical kind of narrations, it's very sure that Lama Tsongkhapa in nature is none other than the Buddha Maitreya himself. Though it may appear to us, to the common human beings, that he is different to him, he is different from Buddha Maitreya. So for all these reasons, here we invite the great master Tsongkhapa from the heart of the Buddha Maitreya. So this is the explanation why we invite, why we visualize the Buddha, the Lama Tsongkhapa is coming down in front of us from the heart of the Buddha Maitreya. So this is the historical background why it is done in that way. Nibani tetar sonam gi sing chen thang bala yena duing gi so be thongmar nyangal le minda war so wa da bani duing gi tetang du sing gi ti yang sing gya che wa ye yun du thele ma be sing gi thir pe man da dawe de na je ye se sum shugar me ne da dan dan de sim ji lang dur gi ne la mig lo ma tabu
namgi longchi dang nyomong be ne shuk chagwe zeba nam suji gi memba dongi gyazab chimbyo longdo chingwan nam jinji gi nyemba tabur goyme kemme du luba daja ki kemne kele shiens sula rebe daja ki goyenda donga gi tembe ne tima meba nam shidru gi tharashin gebe ledo keger miyobar shuk solo nyamne. Then the second portion of this actual explanation of the practice is to do the accumulation of those to accumulate those merits or the collections. So this point onward, we are going to explain that part. For the first portion, the invitation of the merit field, we only have one verse. There is no more than that. Now, from this point onward, we are dealing with this second portion. After having the field of merit invited, how to carry on the activities to accumulate more merit and collections. And it there will be many verses under this portion. So out of these many verses, the first verse it says, after having the field of merit or field of accumulations invited, then we need to do the practice of seven limb practice, and in order to accumulate the merits. Out of that, the first, out of the seven limb practice, in this case, in this practice, the first one that we do is the practice of supplication or making a request to live long without passing away, to live long and to have a life long life, that kind of supplication or that kind of request. Now here, this is a little distinct from other seven limb practices. In general, while we do the seven limb practices, it begins or it kind of starts with the practice of doing the prostrations, but here it is differently organized. The reason will be explained later. So what we need to do is we have the visualized field of merit in front of us, the great master Tsongkhapa and his two disciples on the thrones in front of us, and to the visualized field of merit. Now we have to have a deep sense of feeling like this. Myself and all the other living beings are like blind people and are like blind. And for us, for us, the blind one, you, the merit field, are like those guides who help the blind people to pass the street and to, you know, walk the street and so on. And myself and all of the living beings are like a patient suffering from serious health problem of negative emotions and delusion. And to cure those problems, to cure those health problems, serious health problems, you, the merit field in front of me, are like a great kind of doctor and great physician. And
Myself and all the living beings are like people drowning in the ocean of the samsara, ocean of the suffering. And to us, you, the merit field, is only the saver and liberator that can help us to get out of samsaric existence or deliver us out of samsara or the sufferings. So you, the merit field in front of us, are the only hope and only kind of our chances. We have no other savior, we have no other hopes. So with deep sense of reliance and trust and devotion, please, could you live long and remain here as long as possible in order to maintain the purity of the Dharma, the purity of the Sutra and Tantra teachings of the Dharma, and in order to make the Dharma teachings flourish and multiply and pervade all over the places, please leave here for eons, like 100 eons, without any change, without passing away. So this is the meaning of the this second verse of the supplication, where we supplicate to live long to the merit field, and while with maintaining such an understanding, such a deep sense of kind of request and supplication, we need to read the second paragraph. My Lord Guru is seated before me on a lion throne, lotus and moon cushion. His white face smiles blissfully. Please remain many eons and serve as the supreme merit field for the growth of my mind of faith and for the increase of Lord Buddha's teachings. Dungi namkar singti pende ting jizun lama yebe zungarje daglo thebe sonam shingcho du temba gejri kegir shususu. So that is the supplication in Tibetan. You can see in the phonetics, the phonetic rendering is still there, is there just next to the paragraph. It's like that. She sawadab dil thomar nyangele midawar sawadabe yana junganis sawadabe shing denda mebani lama yila thela sawadabala sawadabe shing du tembar shubha shing goba gobe thomar tingshuki sawadabe yin sung. So the reason is explained here, why the supplication to make why do we do the supplication to live long without change to this field of merit here, unlike the in the other practices. The reason is the guru is the incomparable, that means best field of accumulating the merit. There is nothing comparable to the guru in order to accumulate merit. So in order to accumulate the merit from this amazing and kind of wonderful field of merit, it is very important that this field of merit should remain, should be there for a longer period, should be there available to accumulate the merit, do the kind of practices related to it, and accumulate merit. For that reason, the supplication to live a long life is done in the beginning, unlike the other practices or unlike the other yogas, where it is done probably on the sixth place. So this is a different thing. And the okay. And the second thing is, the first limb is over, out of the seven limb practice. Then the second limb is the prostrations. And to do the prostrations, now we have to have the same understanding that the merit field is in front of us, in kind of sparkling brightness in the living in a great blessings and clarity. Now, in front of that merit field, now we have to visualize that we emanate multiples of our own body. Our main body become like a source of all emanation, so that we emanate duplicates of it in multitudes of thousands and kind of hundreds of thousands and millions and billions and so on. And then each of these duplicate emanation of our own body are doing the prostrations, the physical prostrations, in front of this field of merit, with the with melodious chantings said from the mouth, and with a deep sense of devotion maintained, and deep sense of respect maintained in the heart. And here it is very important to understand recall the greatness of the merit field. The greatness of the merit field is explained like this. All the phenomena which exist, you, the merit field, have this capacity, great and amazing capacity to understand them simultaneously at every moment. Understand all the phenomena that exist, not by one by one, in a sequenced manner, understanding everything in a kind of simultaneous manner at the same time and same point, and understanding the things with a deep clarity and a kind of unimaginably and kind of great clarity, like we can see certain things like in the palm of our own hand, kind of that kind of clarity. So which is a kind of unimaginably kind of great. So that kind of wisdom, or that kind of mental achievement you have achieved. And you have great vocal achievements. Like your one single line of teaching, when the listeners with different interest and different mental disposition and different taste, listen to that, they get different messages from it and different kind of instructions which could be very helpful and suitable and appropriate to each of them. That kind of great achievement, vocal achievement, or the great quality of speech that you own, that you have, or that you are endowed, is amazing and unimaginable, which provides immediate and long-lasting benefits, virtues, and happiness to everyone who listens to it. And the third thing is, your physical being or your physical features are also unimaginably great, because the physical features which makes the great Chakravartin king, it's a kind of a, once again related to mythology or maybe early history of Indian tradition or Indian kind of civilization. And the great physical appearance and the physical characteristics of the Pratik Buddhas and the Shravakas, all of them put together, all of the merit of those great personalities put together, could be able to produce a single pore of your body, and those causes and merit which is needed to produce single pore of your body, when we multiply it to 100 times, that could be able to produce some minor marks of your body. And when we multiply that 100 times, and that is something that could be able to produce major mark of your body, so it keeps on multiplying like that. So the physical being of yourself is in itself so great that it requires such a huge and unimaginably huge amount of merit and causes and conditions, which is extremely difficult to achieve. So you have achieved all those 32 major marks of a special being, and you have also achieved the 80 minor marks of being a special being. So that kind of physical, vocal, and mental greatness, we need to cultivate, and we need to recall, we need to understand, and we need to recall them. With recalling those things, the great physical and mental and vocal achievements of the merit field, then we need to recite the third paragraph or the third verse, and at the same time need to visualize that we are doing the prostrations. Your omniscient wisdom mind encompasses all that is existent. Your speech is a profound teaching which ornaments the ear of fortunate. Your body's beautiful radiance evokes a wondrous admiration. I prostrate to you, Lama Tsongkhapa, whom merely viewing, hearing,
and contemplating earns one great merit. So this is the prostration part. You get lost, sir. Ah. Kolu girwa den yeran da sofe ke ophe batam ji. Sonam gyanjur gi phabuchik dubaso. Sonam thai pa du mebe. Tumbe tsembe senzo gi kui yunde nam. Chember chela. Sheje kyungun jebe lodu tuk. Kesa nawe gyanjur lekhi sum. Thagbe pel ki hamer zebe ku. Tongdu chembe tunde la cha sel. Sheje. Then we go for the next, the third limb out of the seven limb practice. The third practice is to do the offerings. And to do that, we need to visualize that we manifest from ourselves, we manifest through the power of the concentration, we can manifest those female celestial beings, extremely attractive and polite and caring, and doing the offerings to the merit field. And holding all the different varieties of offerings in their hand, we can visualize eight female celestial beings manifested, or maybe multitude of them, like hundreds and thousands of them. It is dependent on individual's choice. But the important thing is we need to visualize the different female celestial beings holding different offerings in their hand. The different offerings are the water for drinking, the water for wash the feet, the water to rinse the mouth, and the water to sprinkle and kind of refresh, and all the different varieties of flowers with different colors and different shapes and different size and different texture and different fragrance, and different varieties of incense with all the different varieties of fragrance coming out, smells coming out, and different varieties of the lamps, and different varieties of perfumes, and different varieties of food offerings, like fruits, cakes, and various other types of fruits, and all the different varieties of musics, the one that can be blown, the one that can be played, the one that can be beaten. But beating doesn't make any sense in English. You cannot beat the... Do you beat the drum?
Beat the drum, yeah.
You don't drum the drum?
Drumming is also a kind of a verb, you know. Mm-hmm. You use the word drumming, but drum is not verb. So it's very complicated in English, you know. You say drumming, I am drumming, that means you are beating the drum, you know. So drum is not a verb. But when you add up the ing, it becomes a verb. Well, that's an interesting thing. So all the different varieties of musics. And you have to visualize all these female celestial beings, extremely attractive, come out with all those things in their hand, and they are playing the musics, and they are offering the foods and all those things. And beside that, physically very attractive, vocally they are producing a very soothing and very sweet, melodious kind of songs or chantings. And physically they are also producing kind of a very soothing and sweet kind of odor or fragrance. And it's very tasty, and it comes with a extremely soothing and pleasant kind of tactile feeling. So those kind of the five attracts of the desire realm. And the seven kind of wealth of the royalty, the queen, general, and minister, and all those things, like queen, general, and minister, and the wheel, and the elephant, the horse, and the jewel. The wheel here stands for weapon of the royalty, that if someone is someone have to guard their kingdom, they need a kind of very powerful weapon. So it's like that. And all the eight different varieties of auspicious signs, like the conch, the endless knot, and the umbrella, and the banner, and the fish, and the vase, the lotus, and what is left over? One thing. Something is better. Okay, the eight are there. So, and beside that, you can also visualize the kind of all the different varieties of those things which is not owned by any others, like the lakes, ponds, rivers and creeks, the forest, and the meadows, and the garden, and the flowers that is inside there in nature, all the various kind of medicinal herbs that is spread in the nature. So if we summarize all these things together, then everything which have this capability to make the merit field joyful and happy, that can be offered. So everything that, and especially on that, the offerings that manifests from the concentration of the all the victorious one and the bodhisattvas, which is simply named perfect offerings. Perfect offerings, you can visualize that you have taken it and you have it visualized and then offering it to them. So with such an understanding, with such a kind of contemplation and visualization, you should chant or read the next paragraph, paragraph number 4. I present to you supreme field of merit, Tsongkhapa, delightful offerings, pure, sweet water, various flowers, fragrant incense, burnt lamps, perfumes and more, both physical and mental offerings, vast as the cloud and wide as the ocean. Like that. So, after having that run, you should visualize that the merit field have in pleasure and great joy accepted the offerings, and by the acceptation of the offerings, it produced a great joy and happiness in the heart or in the mind of the merit field, so that you earn great amount of merit and great amount of accumulations.
Chebe yin la ni zhe xin yi dong we mig dan yi la ga wa ke ni be chebe lam lo sa so okay chebe lam la na chen yu xia si xie si sang dur si ma tang dong bu me do ti xin xin ka do number ta wa du bu gi tu ti mi se gi na wa chu be ti jap ro ge den be sa dung gi cha da bu du dung gi gi ro mi cha da to wan sam gi mi ka ba da xie yan su ze ba dan yin ba ti xin ba ro da wa rek ja jam be du yu nga da jam be du yu nga da gezi rinjen du da tashi be tangse la so ko da da gu ma sung be chuto na sel me to me gi re bu so ndor na nye ji gi che be chada kha ya ma sa wa me ba da ja wa se ji gi ding ding gi ro ba le chu me gu sang chu ding gi cho kyang le lang de pu wa sam la yi won chu yu na so me to da ti sim du bu na se ti che so gu sim yi du chu ding gi so di sun nam xing cho chu lo che ba bu xie yin je be che ba nam da gi che di tujulun dewa kyabarji tungde nyeshin simbar sam. Andi shangmuro. Okay, now we are going to stop here for today. So we will have the question answers later on. You can save it for yourself. If you have questions, you can take note of that. I believe we are going to have enough time later on to deal, to work out the questions, okay? First we are going to recite this, the quick return prayer in English, okay? Are you ready? Okay. O infinite Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, you are the embodiment of uncontaminated and immutable great bliss. Kindly pour on us now rains the nectar of the great gods, of your pervasive pure and bright wisdom and compassion to eliminate our distress. We pray to you, an incomparable great hero, who has perfectly realized within his mind the threefold ethics, a pure essence of the existence systems of Tathagata's teachings. He who has raised a parasol of Dharma in hundreds of directions. Your body is a sun of all wonderful qualities, but all of a sudden it set into solitary peace. You have committed before infinite Buddhas to work for Dharma and sentient beings. You could not have given up your commitment. However, your presence depends on the fortunes of disciples, for the power of dependent arising is inconceivable. Please reincarnate soon as a new light of Dharma, out of your compassion that never abandons us.
Please return soon as a supreme spiritual guide, a treacherous house of immense teachings of the Buddha, a voice that eloquently elucidates the teaching that suits individuals' dispositions and capacities. Please return soon as a great Dharma king who will be known in all directions for smashing into pieces a mountain of misguided teachings and views through the power of your thunderbolt lightning of the three reasonings. Please return soon just like your true self, an expert in the five major sciences of Buddhism, whose eloquent words and articulate of the teaching captivate the hearts of all the scholars and activate deep appreciation in pure enthusiastic mind. Please return soon as a spiritual guide, endowed with complete knowledge, kindness and dedication in regards to the perfect view, meditation and conduct, one who facilitates the opening of the blossomed lotus, that is the golden teaching of the Tsongkhapa, by the power of the three infallible jewels, by the power of the dependent arising of unchanging emptiness, by the truth of our pure thoughts and devotion, may all our aspirations be spontaneously fulfilled. Okay, are you ready with this one? The mere appearance of the myriad signs of your personal beauty on the surface of the mind's mirror makes one's vitality adamantine. O God of law, best wisdom, we pray to the kind, eminent Guru who has abandoned all false and perfected all realizations, who has tamed himself with the nitya of the three types of morality, who is unmatched in explaining the vast scriptures. O Lord, noble protector of the world, for the liberation of the afflicted beings of this degenerated era, sit permanently and firmly on the indestructible throne, supported by eight lions for an ocean of eons. O moon of eloquence, the radiance of the light of your excellent knowledge and virtue, swells the vast milky doctrine of Vijaya Tsongkhapa, glittering with the splendor of the jewels of liberation. May you live long. You are the unprecedented second Lord of the God, arrayed with the thousand eyes that distinguish the reality of the way of Dharma, beautified with the jeweled ornament of love for sentient beings, possessing the hundred-pronged vajra of the bones of mighty Dharyana. May you live long, O Supreme Guide, King of the Kings, endowed with the fortitude to explain turned texts with fangs and claws that destroys the hearts of misleading guides, rich in the wealth of eloquent speech and composition. May you live long. Lord has banished conceptual thought that cling to ordinary appearance, who has mastery over the supreme realization of the stages of Tantra, in which whatever appears manifests as purity. May you live long as Vajra holder. May the kind spiritual teachers, skilled in teaching us the key points of the good path, without mistake just as it is, may they live long, may their wishes be spontaneously fulfilled. May they be pleased and nurture us without our need. By the blessings of all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, by the power of unerring causal dependent origination, by the truth of pure aspiration, may the good result of his own.
Jizu lame guze rabden jin namgara tine chojuru geb. Osan tenbe domes drove minse dadu ne guru ji.
Oh,
ge ba na ge ge ji ge wa nya ba me ba ya go ne go do be ra yi jo kor ve jin ga man de re be na de wa ma lu ju me che re se ma din din ge do ye ja be si de ba do din ge ro yi ji
Good weekend.